let's look at Matthew 26. Flip there if you could, and we're going to read verses 26 to 29. I'll give you a second until I hear flips stop, or if I see fingers stop the scrolling. Digital Bibles are okay. Who said that's cheating? All right, you don't have to show yourself now. We'll talk later. That's okay. But we'll read it together. It says in verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take this. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So this is a typical picture, and if you Google and search for images of a Lord's table or a table or communion, you might see something like this. Can you guys tell me what's up with this picture that might seem a little out of place? Bam! That's right. That bread's all fluffy, squishy, and delicious. I love leavened bread. But you're right, that's not unleavened bread. Now, and we of course recognize that it most likely wasn't because, of course, of the custom going on. And if we rewind a little bit in the same chapter to verse 17, we read, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you the feast of Passover?'" And so again, at this time, they were within that 7 days that they were going to do that. In fact, we read in Exodus 12:15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you'll remove the leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. That's some pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Boy, I scared my son yesterday. We were having a hard time with him. It was Josiah. I didn't tell Aubrey yet. This is a good time to get it out. Yeah. You know, and he had a problem. I remember calling Aubrey on the phone, and she's like, "Man, when you get home, he is just arguing with me, not listening." And, is Joe in here? What's up, Joe? No, he's not? Oh, okay. Oh, whew. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's a true story. He's cool. So, yeah. So he's going this, and I said, "You know, Joe," I said, "we talked about the importance of obedience and how we structure this there." And I said, "Well, you know what used to happen in the Old Testament when you disobeyed your parents?" He goes, "What?" "They killed you." And he's like, "Oh!" I said, "It's okay. We don't do that anymore." I admit I wanted to see the reaction just a little bit, but he wasn't really afraid for his life, but he was like, "Wow, those guys are strict." I said, "Yeah, no, it's okay. But there's some serious consequences for stepping outside of the law." So also Exodus 13, 6 through 10 says much the same thing. "For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. You shall tell the sun on the day, saying, 'It's because what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt,' and it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand and on your head." Or pardon me, "So it's not you on your hand, and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For the Lord may be in your..." Oh my goodness. "For with a powerful hand..." I need to print bigger. I don't see it like I used to. "And the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep his ordinance," this ordinance, "at its appointed time from year to year." And you guys all know what leaven is. What is leaven? What's another word for it? Yeast. That's right. Yeasty. It's a microscopic little mold that grows really quickly in the right conditions, right? It eats sugars in the bread, produces gases, they expand. Now, in biblical times, they would just, of course, take a little small piece. Like you ever made sourdough, you know, you keep a little piece left over for the next time, right? So that was pretty common. And it was really used as a word picture a lot of times in the Bible, sometimes for good things, a lot of times for bad. We'll talk a little bit about that. Eating the unleavened bread served as a reminder for the nation of Israel, of course, how the Lord had to get them up out of Dodge real quick when they were in Egypt. He says, "Don't bother leavening your bread, guys, because I'm going to get you guys out of here real quick. You don't want to sit there and wait time. Take your bread with you, unleavened." But it, of course, reminds us, too, that he not only delivered them out of there, but our slavery and their slavery. And we recognize our own slavery to sin, which we'll get into. And the bread itself became this, or this leavening became a tradition over time. And it was a great metaphor for this because it spreads pretty quickly. In fact, in a negative context, I think Craig Keener, as a seminary professor and author, says one of the best analogies we could think of probably nowadays we'd use is that leaven, and perhaps sin, spreads like a cancer. I like leaven. It's tastier and other things. But cancer is a pretty serious word, and we can get the seriousness of the situation. Remembering what the Lord has done, I want to go ahead and dig into Psalm 136 again, and we'll say it together. To him who struck Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out of Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. We're going to go through Psalm 136 today. And with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. We want to remember that the true sinless bread of life came in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus likened a lot of things. He talked about leaven as hypocrisy. And in the book of Luke, chapter 12, he says that again. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He talked about sin and evil. And in fact, we know from 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, to clean out your old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread and the sincerity of truth. We recognize some of the dangers of leaven. In fact, we're warned again in 1 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 5 that a little bit of leaven or yeast can affect the entire loaf. And that's the thing, too. We recognize that, and this is why it's a really good picture, a word picture for sin. When we sin just a little bit, is that ever enough? No. We go to that thinking, I have a desire, and I want to have this desire met. And when I'm either tempted by the flesh, the devil, the world, I have these other things, and I go, I want this. But I want this. Like arguing with the three-year-old. Yeah, but I want it. Yeah, I get that. But you can't have it. But I want it. So you think here, and then when we get it, is it ever enough? No, it's not. It pleases for a minute. It's like cheap bubble gum. It's like, oh, need another piece. And you keep putting it in there. Anybody ever remember when baseball cards came with bubble gum? That was horrible. You had to break your teeth off on it trying to get it to chew, and it didn't taste good, but we did it anyways. Why? I don't know. It was for the cards, man, I admit. That's right. It was for the cards, man. Sacrifice. But we kept going back, and this is the same thing, and that'll keep spreading and spreading until it's more and more, until it's unmanageable. And we, of course, recognize the amazing thing in the sinless bread of life, and that's Jesus. In John chapter 6, I'd encourage you to turn there. We're going to read verses 31 to 35. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it's written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread out of heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is not that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread, right? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He had just gotten done multiplying bread to feed them. And he's like, this before this, you guys are following me because I made you lunch. You guys ate this. And it says, well, I'm going to give you bread. Kind of like the woman at the well. It's like, hey, if you have water that'll keep on giving, just give me some of that. It's like, no. I'm speaking spiritually, girl. Let me help you. And he's saying, no, guys. I can make you multiply bread. It'll feed you for a day. But I am the bread of life, and he who eats of me will never hunger or thirst again. This is the amazing promise in Christ, knowing that he is the bread of life, and those who have tasted him know that he is good. And there's nothing else that satisfies like Jesus. We need to remember that Jesus took our leaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he made himself who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the unrighteousness of God to him. And you know that in 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. The perfect touch of the Savior. Let me ask you this, guys. Was Jesus ever unclean? No. Let me ask you this. In the Old Testament, they had certain rules, right? Certain things would make you clean or unclean. Right. What are some things that would make somebody unclean? Leprosy, right? Leprosy made you unclean, right? Okay. What's some other things that made you unclean? Dead body touched. That's right. If you touch a dead body, you're in trouble. How about if you touched a leper then? Is that a bad thing? Yeah. What did Jesus go around doing? Didn't he put his hands on lepers? Didn't he put his hand? Didn't he say, hey, get up there? Yeah, he did. Was he ever unclean? No, he wasn't. Absolutely not. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. Remember when Isaiah said he had a vision in front of the Lord, and he's sitting here, and what did he say when he realized he was standing in front of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty? He says, woe is me, I'm ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of Hosts. Bum, 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 what do I do now? Then an angel comes over and says, hold on, chill. He gets a tong, right, and he takes a hot coal from this fire, and he sits there, and I don't know about you, but I'd be freaking out already at seeing God, seeing angels, and then one of them is taking a burning hot thing and sticking it in my face. But he touches his lip, and then he says, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sins forgiven. It's a wonderful thing that we see the parallel, and we see Christ, the Son of God, who's walking around, and when he touches the impure, he doesn't pick up our impurities from that. In fact, we are healed. Because of God's perfect and amazing touch. And this is what Christ has done for us. Was he ever unclean? No. But he touches people's lives instead, so that instead of a curse spreading with sin that we share, Jesus can share in love, joy, peace, the other fruits of the Spirit, his righteousness imparted to us. Now let me ask you this. Is there still leaven in the world? Absolutely. There are still things that are so easy to get caught up in now, even more so than maybe at other times. But human beings are always human beings. I shouldn't say always. We're looking forward to that day when the Lord makes everything right. But we recognize today, especially as we're going to partake in the Lord's table, we're called to a point of contemplation and asking the Lord to search our hearts and see if there is an unright way in us. To see if we've picked up some of the leaven of the world, that today we need to clean house in our hearts before God, a holy God who asks us to take this exceptionally seriously. Let me ask you this. Can the leaven be removed out of a person's heart by that person alone? Sorry, I didn't mean to trip you there. but yeah, you know the right answer. Absolutely not. Mankind alone, I cannot make my mind up and say, I'm done with my sin, I'm just going to be cleansed of it. Rightio. You, good luck with that. We recognize that, again, the Lord promises us that forgiveness. We recognize that we don't have a cleanliness or forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ. I like Matthew Henry talks a little bit about what the Lord has done, and he's referring to those who've been healed in Christ. He says they're broken in heart and wounded, humbled and troubled for sin, inwardly pained at the remembrance of it, as a man that's sorely wounded, their very hearts are not only pricked, but rent under the sense of dishonor they've done to God and the injury they've done to themselves by sin. To those whom God heals with the consolations of his Spirit, he speaks peace, assures them that in their sins they're pardoned, and that he is reconciled to them, and so makes them easy, pours the balm of Gilead into the bleeding wounds, and then binds them up and makes them to rejoice. Those who have had the experience of this need not be called upon to praise the Lord, for when he brought them out of the horrible pit and set their feet upon a rock, he put a new song into their mouths. And for this, let others praise him also. So we know that if we have been delivered by the hand of God in Christ Jesus in salvation, if my sins have been forgiven, we have great reason to pray. We have great reason to remember how the Lord saved, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, and who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Now it's time for us to focus, of course, on partaking of the Lord's table together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it reads, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he doesn't judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we'll not be condemned along with the world. I'd encourage us also today that this is a habit for so many of us, something we've always done. But as was encouraged earlier in the worship, today is a brand new day. The Lord's mercies are brand new today. Let's seek Him and remember that this is a unique opportunity, different from all others, to partake in something so joyous and so special that He has offered us, representing His body and His blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the saved. I think we should all just quickly read Psalm 139, 1-8. O Lord, You've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted in all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, You know it all, and You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, and it's too high, I can't attain it. If we could, guys, let's bow our heads in prayer before we serve. Father God, I pray that You would, by Your grace and Your goodness and Your love, You would help us to search our hearts even now. That if there is something, my God, any leaven that we have tucked away, You would please reveal it to us, that we would confess it to You, my God, and be healed. I pray that if we have things, my God, that need to be confessed to the brethren, You would help us to find our brothers and sisters and do likewise, that we might be healed. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that You would bless this offering, that we would be faithful in heart and mind and spirit, worshiping You, my God, with all that we have, in obedience to what You have commanded us, my God, but in joy for getting to participate. And if there's those among us now who don't know You, that they abstain. For this is for those, my God, who know You as Lord and Savior. And we ask this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Would the servers come forward, please?